Hello.
Hi.
Do I sound okay? Not echoey?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, cool.
I just wanted to be sure I wasn't echoey.
No, you're good.
Is Jess in the room so she can call in later? She said she was going to stay up extra late for us.
No one is in the room as of yet, but we have some people joining. Do you want to kick us off with our intro?
All right. Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things.
The podcast. I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And
we're here with you.
But very far away, but we are here.
We're here with you, but we're far apart doing our social distancing.
Yes, we're doing the Zoom and podcast.
Zoom is just
challenge.
For us. Yeah, you can't see the Zoom. It's just so we can see each other.
Yes, and we miss each other's faces.
We do. I've been sheltered in place for a while now, and I need to see other faces.
Mm-hmm. So you chose mine.
I did. Have you noticed that the grocery stores now, they're doing like the X's so that everybody stays the proper distance apart because people can't like measure in their minds what 6 feet is?
I've been doing the pickup orders where they bring it out to me.
Have you been in the grocery stores at all?
No.
No? Oh, I'm just risking my life. Every time I go to the grocery store, it's just like a food run in The Walking Dead.
I'm trying to...
I may or may not come back.
I'm trying to balance my exposure risk with the fact that I still go to work every day. So that's a challenge.
I'm so sorry that you are being
so hard.
Forced to go against Governor Inslee's orders, and you're going into work.
Yeah, it's been hard. Especially seeing everyone else like so empty.
Yeah. So I went to UPS and they have the best social distancing markers on the floors that I've seen. They have these squares marked out and they had only 4 squares allowed in the building. And so you had to stay outside until one of the squares was freed up. And then you moved from square to square.
We've been training for this our whole lives with 4 square as children.
They had the best. The worst was at Petco. They had these markers and they were not nearly 6 feet apart. I don't know who put those down, but they were like random, like 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, 4 feet. And so at one point, someone got a little bit close behind me and I turned and gave them the Malo Ho, the evil eye. And in my mind, I was really like turning and like hissing at him, like, like, get back. Maintain your proper social distance.
Yeah, I've just been interacting with people like normal. We have spaced it out.
The fuck?
At work, we have been sanitizing everything and keep, like, we just started doing telehealth, but we all still have to come into the office and interact with each other.
Which is wrong and ill-advised.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, and I'll start a petition. I'll do what I need to do to support you.
It is not very motivating to go to work when I know every single person on my Facebook. Like, I see all their daily sitting at home comments and all those things that they get to do, and they're upset about it. They're like, ugh, I had to watch another Netflix series, and I was like, I guess I'm going to keep working on this Excel sheet and talking to clients that are upset up front about not getting medication.
I wore the same pair of yoga pants for so many days last week. By the time I finally decided to switch them out, they were like not even the original thing I'd put on my body. I had 5 different work shirts last week and 1 pair of yoga pants.
I'm wearing work clothes right now. I haven't had time to change.
You have work bottoms too?
Yeah, I still have tights on.
I'm sorry.
I actually got back not that long ago from taking some paper products and cleaning wipes to my father.
That's nice that you're helping your pa out.
Yeah, we keep the 6 foot distance.
I don't really think 6 feet is enough. I mean, in my opinion,
I know. Especially when people commented like a long time ago about how we're still breathing the air from the dinosaurs. Like, I'm breathing your air over there.
I decided to venture out of the house on Saturday and go for a run. And it was like way too risky. I regretted it because there was all these people out walking. So I kept having to like crisscross back and forth across streets and try to avoid them. And then I was thinking, well, I'm heavy breathing, running through a place where someone was just breathing. And am I breathing their air? Like, did they cough here? Is it still in the air? And by the time I got home, I was like more stressed out than I should have been after a run. I'm usually like, ah, stress gone. But I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing that again. I'll wait. I'm fine. I got yoga. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty glad like hot yogas are closed. It seems like a bad combo.
So I'm drinking I tapped into one of my cheap wines from Trader Joe's that I stocked up on, and it's actually really good. It was $4.99. It's called Figment with a PH.
Ooh, that's fancy.
Look at the picture. It's got like this lady that's a forest, and it's mysterious.
She's like a figment of my imagination.
Exactly.
So I've watched shows, though, this weekend.
Did you watch The Tiger King?
I did, but I watched none of the other shows you recommended. I've watched Tiger King and Ozarks.
I haven't started Ozarks yet. That's on my list. Is it good?
Pretty good. Suspenseful.
I'm a big Jason Bateman fan. I have been since Family Ties.
Yeah, he's good. I do want to say Tiger King really had me enthralled. I loved it.
I'm watching it for the second time, actually. Because I tend to like not fully pay attention when I'm watching shows sometimes. So
I just love how nuances at the beginning
that I missed.
Yeah, at the beginning I'm like, oh, it's that one or it's that one. Who's the bad guy? And I'm like, you're all horrible. You're all horrible people in your own way. You have the like tiger breeder entertainer who is just social media hungry, and then you have the woman who probably murdered her husband and makes money off of conservation. And then you have the Don guy who clearly makes his interns give him blowjobs. Like, there's problems with all of these people.
I thought it was really enjoyable. It's just what we need in our times.
We needed some mullet in my life.
I didn't realize how much mullet I was missing out on. Yeah.
I saw it. Oh, yeah. Jesse's Clear is in the room. Our special guest for today is going to be joining us for a second time.
She's staying up late to do this because she's in a different time zone.
Hi.
Alabama time zone, which I don't know what that is, but it's not our time zone.
It's the one over, I think.
It's later. I think it's two over.
Is it two over? Probably.
I'm not sure.
Central time.
I think that means two over, right? Because mountain is one over?
Yes. Because that's Montana.
All right, cool.
Cool. All right.
So I get to go first?
Yeah, it's your go.
Okay. Can I ask you a question? Is your topic the topic that was suggested in our Podbean comments?
Yes, yeah, so you can't pick it.
But is that your topic for tonight?
Yes.
Okay, so this was not intentional, but our topics are linked.
Okay, all right.
It's not intentional.
If you stole it.
No, I didn't steal it. Here's the thing. Remember last week?
You are shady, and I don't believe you.
No, I'm not nervously laughing. No, here's how it happened. Last week I had three Japanese paranormal games, right?
Yeah, and you were going to do more.
I was going to do one for this time, but I decided, well, that's not enough for a topic. I wanted to like do some more research to like fluff it up a little.
Steal Macy's topic.
No, but when I was doing my fluff research, I came across your topic non-intentionally because it's linked to my topic. So now I know what that is. I was like, oh my god, that's the topic, which I won't reveal now. So ours are linked.
Okay, go for it.
And you'll see why. But I won't, I'm not going to mention that part, but we may have some overlap, some unintentional overlap. All right. So you see my background, my Zoom background.
Yeah. The like dirty, dusty field.
Well, what is it though? What's happening? What kind of roads are there?
It's a crossroad.
Yes, it's a crossroad. I want to talk about the crossroads.
What's that?
It's a place where two roads cross.
Oh, okay.
At or about right ankles, sometimes known as the forks of the road.
Oh.
And they are the subjects of religious and folkloric belief all around the world and through history.
Oh.
Because the crossroads is lands that belong to no one.
I think I might know how your topic ties into my topic.
If you know music, you probably do. A place outside the borders of town. So it's a great place to perform magic rituals and cast spells. It can be used as an altar where offerings are placed. So,
now, is this any crossroads? Like, we have a lot of crossroads in Spokane. Do you just, like, go down Division and find the one that stands out to you? Or does it have to be ominous looking?
I think that if you're going to be doing some rituals, you probably don't want to do it at a main intersection because you'll probably get the popo called on you.
I have to tell you, one of the funniest moments of my life, a man on the side of the street walks across with a chair and sets it down in the middle of the intersection and then sits in the chair and everyone's honking at him. That's the best use of a crossroads I've ever seen.
And there's a ritual. So the crossroads feature really prominently in the hoodoo traditions, which is African American folk magic. So there's many, many, many documented cases of and directions and instructions on how to use the crossroads to do things like increase your musical talent or increase your ability to do card tricks or whatnot. So there is a legend about Robert Johnson.
Dad guessed it.
That he made a deal with the devil at a crossroads. So he's considered one of the greatest blues guitarists of all time. And also considered to be one of the creators of rock and roll. His life and death is steeped in mystery. So he came up in like, the 20s and 30s. He's a teenager. And in the 30s, he was in his 20s. So he really was wanting to play the guitar and be this blues player, but he just didn't have any talent at all. So
that's rude.
Yeah. Well, he was living in the Mississippi Delta, which is like the birthplace of the blues. And he was growing up in this area where there's this famous blues place called the Juke Joint. And this is where like really amazing blues guitarists of that time, like Sen House, played. And he would go in there when they were on their breaks and beg them to play their guitars. And, you know, sometimes they'd let him, but he was just annoying the fuck out of everybody. So they'd run him off. And
it sounds like my bands.
They're basically like, you suck, quit it. You know, you're annoying everybody. So he'd get chased off. He did play some harmonica, so he did know like some blues songs and stuff, but he just couldn't play the guitar for shit. But then he disappeared for a year. And he came back with skills so good, they were said to be supernatural.
Wow.
He came back walking into that juke joint And this is like everybody's dream, you know, it'd be like, I'll show them, like they all laughed at me. So he comes walking in. He's got his own guitar slung over his back, comes walking in, asks if they're on a break. They're like, yeah. He asks, do you mind if I'll play? They're like, nah, whatever. But, you know, if you're shitty, we'll chase you off like usual, old Robert. And so he had added a string to this guitar. It was a 7-string guitar.
Ooh.
Which was fancy, fancy.
Do you know which string was added?
I don't. Huh. I don't know how to play guitar. I don't know if it was a big one or a small one, top or bottom. So whenever he played guitar, he turned his back to the audience. But he played in a way that it was sounded like two people playing, like two guitars having a conversation with each other. And he just blew everyone's minds. He ended up having these, you know, he died young, link to your story, and had only 29 songs, but they're so popular. I mean, they're covered by everybody from Clapton to Led Zeppelin to everybody, like amazing blues songs. So word got around. He'd been playing at midnight in the graveyard, which was said to be a way to get some powers, and or that he'd gone down to the crossroads and, as his lyrics said, got down on his knees and made a deal with the devil, and that the devil took his guitar and tuned it, giving him his skills.
Man, I wish someone would give me skills.
Well, I'll go with you to some crossroads after we're out of lockdown.
I bet you will. Graveyards,
I'll crossroads. I'll go down on my knees. I'll do it.
Deal.
All right, so here's part two of my topic. That was just a little bit of a little set in the stage, a little fluff. So I'm going to talk about another Japanese paranormal game that you do at a crossroads.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. It's called Tsujiura. It's a fortune-telling game. So Tsujiura Senbei, or fortune-telling rice cookies, are what inspired fortune cookies in San Francisco's Chinatown. So that was a new factoid I learned. So whoever tells your fortune must tell the truth. So all you need for this is one principal person and one comb, which I've brought. Here's my comb. Mm-hmm. And something to cover your face. So that could be a handkerchief or a beanie pulled all the way down or something. And then you need a crossroads.
So you have the crossroads with your picture in the background from Zoom.
I do have my Zoom crossroads. I have my comb. I just don't have anything to cover my face. That may turn out terribly later. So you have to begin at night. Here's the instructions. Oh, and again, disclaimer. If you do this shit and terrible things happen, it's not our fault. Begin at night, because all spooky things happen at night, right, Macy?
Right, we've already figured that out.
Go to your crossroads, bring your comb and your face covering. You have to make the comb speak, so you do this. Can you hear that?
Ew, I don't like it. It gave me goosebumps.
You strum its teeth with your fingers 3 times. And you repeat the words 3 times. Tsujiura, Tsujiura, grant me a true response. And then you wait. You have to be patient. And wait. And watch. If no one else approaches the crossroads, the ritual has failed. Do not proceed. You may try again another time. But if a stranger approaches the crossroads, the ritual has succeeded. You may proceed. So this stranger If they approach, you have to cover your face with your face covering and do not uncover your face until it is safe to do so. When the stranger is close enough to speak to, you may request that they tell you your fortune. Be polite and ask, do not demand, and do not cover your face. If the stranger does not answer, do not proceed. Let them go. Only when they have gone may you remove your face covering. Wait for another stranger to approach and try again. Are we going to, will you try this with me, Macy, sometime?
Sure, why not? Let's go in some traffic.
So if the stranger agrees to answer, you may proceed, but do not cover your face. Listen to what the stranger says. Listen closely. Listen carefully. When the stranger has finished speaking, thank them for their time and let them go. Do not uncover your face yet.
You don't want the Ronas.
So then you go home. You live your life. And, yeah.
And that's it. I was waiting for some big ending.
No, there's more, but I think I accidentally threw my pages away last week.
Nice bailout.
I remember there was other rules. If you bring people with you, they also have to cover their face. Like, nobody can look at the stranger. Because the stranger is probably the devil or some evil entity of some sort, right?
Most likely. That's what I think anytime someone approaches me at a crossroads.
And they're telling you basically your fortune. So the power of what you do with that lies with you. I mean, you can disregard it. You can take it to heart. You can.
So you have to do this at night?
Yeah, you have to do it at night. That's part of the instructions.
I don't want to get murdered or robbed.
Do, do this at night.
More than anything.
All right, well, that's my Tsujiura fortune-telling game to be played at a crossroads, which we've established are very mysterious places.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is it my turn already?
It is your turn.
Cool. So the topic was actually one that was donated in our Facebook group, I believe.
Was and now Facebook that I know what it is, I'm so excited for this. It's a really good topic.
So I'm going to talk today about the 27 Club.
Woo, woo.
So you didn't know what that meant when you looked at it before. What did you learn about it?
It just came across because good old Robert Johnson is a member. So that's why it came up. And when it popped up, I was like, holy shit, connection, synergy, mind-blowing.
Yeah, so the 27 Club has rock stars, singers, musicians who died at the age of 27. So these are often quoted as being some of the greatest musicians who ever lived. And some of these I'll talk about specifically here in a moment, but there's a lot of, I would say, folklore around why people think this is the case, that maybe there's a specific reason why people in that grouping die at 27. I also have some science that I brought because I know you like science.
I do love science, but I also love mystery.
Yes, so there's two. All right, so first of all, the 27 Club, one of the first members, not the first members, but the first one I'm going to talk about is Kurt Cobain, who you talked about in a previous episode. So Kurt Cobain, he died on April 8th, 1994 in his Washington house by an electrician who found him, but he had a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head.
If you want to hear more about that, our episode is called The Shitty PI.
Yeah, that's...
Because who found him? The electrician.
Exactly. So he died when he was 27, and his mom actually was quoted by the media as saying, you know, I told him not to join that club after he died. So she had made that first statement in connection with the 27 Club that kind of got picked up later on.
Wow. His mom actually said that?
Yeah, yeah. After that, we have Amy Winehouse.
Oh, she was part of that?
Yeah, she was 27. She was found dead in her London home July 23rd, 2011, and would later be revealed to have died of an alcohol overdose. And her BAC blood alcohol content was 0.416, which is a lot. It's very high.
That is, I don't even know what that would even be like.
It'd be like you died.
That, so yeah. Pretty bad then.
Pretty bad. Probably the worst. So, yeah, so she became a member in 2011. Then we have Jimi Hendrix, was another 27er. He overdosed of barbiturates in the form of 9 prescription sleeping pills. And they killed him. They found him in the morning of September 18, 1970 in his London flat.
Was he one that had choked on his vomit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Janis Joplin is our next.
Who I love.
Yes, very
amazing. Me and my Bobby McGee is one of my faves.
So she died of an assumed heroin overdose October 4th, 1970. The OD was... assumed? So the OD, influenced by alcohol, was thought to be a potential batch of heroin that incited several other overdoses. So it was something that they think she wasn't aware of the contents of.
Mm.
Jim Morrison is our next club member.
I used to be a huge Doors fan back in high school. I had all the albums. I'd just sit in my room, super fucking high, listening to the Soft Parade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, yep. So he died in his bathtub of a heroin overdose. That's at least how the police report depicts it. There's a lot of other versions of how he died. Like accidentally snorting some of his girlfriend Pamela Corson's heroin, having mistaked it for cocaine, and died from accidental ingestion. So he has a lot of rumors surrounding his death.
Say that again. Mistaken what?
Ingestion. So having
what for what?
Snorted heroin, thinking it was cocaine.
Oh fuck!
Yeah, that would suck.
Did you see that? Remember back in the 90s, that Doors movie with Val Kilmer, back when he was hot?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't. Robert Johnson. He died of a possible, so they say possible, strychnine poisoning.
He was definitely poisoned.
On August 16th, 1938, after receiving whiskey that was tampered with in a bar.
Supposedly, he was poisoned by the husband of one of his honeys.
Honeys.
A jealous husband of his honey.
Alan.
Don't you think it's cool, though, how linked our topics are?
Yeah, it's totally overlapped. Yeah.
I love it.
Alan Wilson. I didn't know who this was before, but singer and frontman of blues outfit Canned Heat, Alan Blind Owl Wilson.
Well, I know Canned Heat.
Do you? Okay.
I don't know that individual person.
He died of an apparent drug overdose in California in 1970.
Oh, shit.
All right, so we have our last member of the 27 Club that's kind of famously included, which is Brian Jones from he's one of the original founders of the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I thought he was a Beach Boy.
Oh,
that's Brian Wilson.
Yeah, they'll say, I think that's someone else. So again, this one was also linked with a possible drug problem, but on July 3rd in 1969, they found him in the bottom of his pool, and his death was entered as drowning, quote, by death by misadventure.
Wait, misadventure? What the hell does that mean?
Death
Partied
by
too hard, fell in the pool.
Death by Misadventure. Quite the police report. So there's this alluring quality of why do these famous musicians die at 27? Is that like a treacherous age for musicians or other people? What do you think?
Are they all drug related?
Almost all of those were somehow. Yeah.
I would say, I mean, if you want to be on the science side, there's probably a lot more amazing musicians that don't die at 27. And I would say there's probably one or two of those that I would probably say don't need to be in the list of amazing musicians. You know, that aren't quite those legendary names that will exist throughout time. You know, I mean, I know that's mean, but we didn't even know who that person was.
That's very judgy of you.
It is, but I mean, are they just throwing that person in to make the club seem bigger, like there's more members?
I feel like if they were doing that, there would be a lot more people on that list.
So, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, I know my mom, who was like in the day of that time, she didn't ever tell me about the 27 Club, but she said when they all died, everyone was freaked out because all their names started with J. So we could also do the Dead J's Club, you know,
and
probably add names to that if we searched, you know, hard enough.
All right. Well, are you ready to hear what some of the conspiracy, I guess, theories are for what
Jesse
Slater
wants
happen?
To know what you're drinking.
I already responded.
Oh.
Get on top of things.
Sorry. This is new to me to be able to actually see the comments.
So the first theory is that it's the Saturn return. So in astrology, the return of Saturn.
Wait, what? I thought we're going into the science.
Not yet.
The first theory is astrology.
No. I'll get into science in a minute. I have to do the fun stuff first. All right. The Saturn returns. In astrology, the return of Saturn occurs when Saturn circles back to its position at the time of your birth. One Saturn cycle takes about 29.4 years. They say the influence begins at age 27. So there you go. So people who have gone through it, it's supposed to be like this initiation into the second half of your life and has all these big changes and push people into a new level of experiences. But there comes additional stress on your soul, on your creativity through this stage. They say that it could influence somebody to not be able to progress on through that next Saturn cycle. So there's
so
that.
A 29-year orbit, is that what you said?
Yeah.
And what does that have to do with 27 years?
It begins influencing at age 27, it says.
Oh, of course it does.
Astrology says
influence.
So.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, obviously. And then, okay, the next one is drug decay. So most members of the 27 Club have a history of drug and alcohol abuse. And actually, many of them have pretty pretty awful childhoods as far as trauma goes for kids. And what we know from the ACEs study for looking at how mental health is impacted along with physical health with childhood trauma can have a huge impact.
And can lead to early deaths.
So according to one psychotherapist, Stephanie Sarkis, 27 may be the age that drug use starts catching up with the body. People who have been using since their late teens and early 20s have really built up a tolerance to the drugs that they're using. But maybe around that time, the body may have a more higher odds of overdosing.
See, I would think 27 developmentally seems late in life to
I agree. I'd be like 23 maybe.
Yeah, because 27 males and females should be coming into their adult brain, not being so impulsive, emotional, kind of solidifying the old personality.
But that's what tells me more of like, okay, like childhood trauma, because that absolutely impacts people's behavior into adulthood and how they form relationships with people. And if they never learned how to do that without drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. Well,
Okay.
2 and 7 equals 9, which in
Hey, hey,
numerology I
hey,
believe equals
hey.
life. Oh, were you going to say something about that? Sorry.
Numerology. It's my next one.
I'm a Jew. We're all about numerology.
So, yes, 27 reduces to the number 9, which represents the end of a cycle. So, with cycles changing, it's saying that this may be an increased time of discomfort where people turn to drugs and alcohol to cope with an increased risk of suicide or doing risky behaviors.
Well, so far, this is the theory that makes the most sense. The
Yeah.
Saturn thing was,
A
I don't
stretch.
think it held really any weight for me.
So even the numerologist said that's pretty oversimplified. Numerologists look at life path numbers, period cycles, and pinnacle cycles, but really they say that the cycles align at the age of 27. They may predict an untimely death. So there you go. There's that. And then there's a satanic pact is the next one. So, some believe that members of the 27 Club have all signed a contract with the devil to achieve fame and fortune in rock and roll, starting with blues musician Robert Johnson. The legend
Going
goes that
down to the crossroads, got
Johnson
down
had
on
no
my
talent.
knees.
Yeah.
And isn't it though mysterious that he had no talent, came back a year later with supernatural talent? And to get in the mood, I was listening to old blues all day, old Delta blues.
That's pretty cool.
Pre-funkin' for the cast, because I
Pre-funkin'.
work from home and I can do that.
Well,
Sorry.
I like
Sorry,
a
Mason.
quote like this. According to quote Anonymous, Satanic High Priestess, all members of the 27 Club since Johnson have been promised fame and fortune in exchange for their agreement to teach youth to serve Satan.
Okay, here's what I think. You can't quote somebody if it's fucking anonymous. It's
It's
not a quote. It's anonymous.
has quotes around
You can
anonymous.
never, listen, all you so-called journalists out there, you cannot quote anonymous.
Oh, but
It's not a quote.
she goes by a satanic high priestess.
And that means what? That adds what kind of legitimacy to what you're saying?
You shouldn't need more. All right. And then the last
I've been
theory.
cooped up in the house too long. I need more.
The last theory is the Erikson explanation. You should also know this one. So this is Erikson psychology, Erikson.
Oh, psychology, Erickson.
Right? Yeah. So developmental stages. So this is looking more at the psychological nature. So the German psychologist Erik Erikson developed a theory about 8 stages of development. And what he said about this was basically that there could be these different stages in life. And in this particular stage of life, it's intimacy versus isolation. So this is a stage of life where people are dealing with a certain set of kind of internal struggles. And you couple that on top of drugs and alcohol, it could maybe lead somebody to making more impulsive decisions like you were talking about before.
Because they're just not feeling that genuine connection to others.
Yeah, and if you think about fame, I mean, even to use one that really hurts my heart, but Robert Williams, Ro Robin Williams, sorry, Robin Williams, wow. But he, like everybody saw him smiling and laughing, and you would assume he was connected to everybody, but he really wasn't and had horrible depression.
Yeah, that really hurt me too. You know what other one hurt me? Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah. That
Yeah,
was
I
a tough
actually
blow.
felt viscerally angry, even though it had nothing to do with me, and it was probably selfish emotions on my part, but
Kind of
I
betrayed.
felt angry. I felt angry. Yeah.
So those were the conspiracy-based ideas as far as like what could possibly have influenced, but the actual science comes from there's only like one major study that's been done on this. So I dug up all
Only
I
one?
could.
Oh
Only
my
one?
God. Yet another really fun study that we could do. What
Right?
was our other one? Oh yeah, crystal healing. We were gonna do a research on that.
Add it to the list. The other list.
I'll start another list. I'm good at lists.
All right. So
You
with
hear me
this,
lisp when I said lists?
now I did.
Know, I used to lisp as a child. I've explained that to you. So don't make fun of me.
Don't be rude, chat. All right. So in 2011, British researchers surveyed 1,500 performers over a 40-year period. They compared the rock stars' average lifespans to non-rock stars from the same period. So Elvis's lifespan would be compared to the average lifespan of other men who were 21 when he released Hound Dog in 1955. The researchers found North American pop stars were 87.6% as likely to be alive as non-rock stars of the same age and ethnicity, the lowest survival rate of any group identified in the study. So, although less likely to die earlier than North American counterparts, Euro rockers were on average more likely to die young than non-European rockers. Pretty interesting.
Well, I believe that. I remember a bunch of years back, one of my old fave 80s punk bands played in Spokane, GBH. And when I went in and saw them, I was amazed by how tiny they were. And people said it was because like there was like malnutrition, like in the UK back in the day. And I mean, they were tiny little punk rocker dudes, old punk rocker dudes. So I feel like maybe that can come into play, just not having those resources growing up can affect resilience.
Absolutely. And they said too that the numbers really are nowhere near what they are now as they were back in the 70s, which also makes sense, I think, with the hippie drug culture at that time, as far as doing lots of drugs, we'll put it that way. Lots of drugs were used.
Well, it was considered like consciousness expansion. It wasn't really considered like the same level of like unhealthy like we
We would say
consider
now.
it now. Yeah.
So the drug and alcohol overdoses were among the most common causes of death, which comes really not as a surprise for rock stars. They have the most access typically as well to drugs and alcohol. So author Howard Soons lists 50 unofficial members of the 27 Club. So there's lots and lots of people that could be added to this, but if you think about the emotional lives of many of these musicians who wrote and performed, who provided the perfect set of circumstances for an early death, it was all really built to be a possibility for these folks. And it's unfortunate, but it really the stats did not say that it was any higher than normal.
Huh, interesting. Did you go through a classic rock phase? Because I totally did in high school.
What would you consider classic rock?
Like all the Grateful Dead, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, all that stuff. I mean, I went in deep. I did a deep dive. That's when
I probably didn't have
actually.
as deep as you.
Okay, it kind of makes sense. I discovered acid, then I went deep into the classic rock, the Led Zeppelin, all that. And that's actually when I first started being obsessed with wearing skirts and dresses. I never wore them before that.
Huh. Well, and they were talking about a lot of
Moccasins. And God help me, I participated in goddamn fucking annoying piece of shit drum circles. I did it in high school. I'm sorry. I admit it. I'll never do it again.
Did you drum? Were you the drummer?
No, I was just one of the stupid, drugged out dancing girls in my moccasins and puka shells. I was like 15, 16. Jesus, it was terrible.
So basically they say that emotional wounds, let's talk about your emotional wounds, often are covered by self-medication, and that many of these rock stars filled that gap. So
hear, hear. Cheers to that.
So really stats-wise, it's more of like the 20s and 30s club, if you wanted to look at who's more likely to die. but the 27 club gets the most attention because the term is marketable and because the deaths of those involved have sparked rumors. Plane crashes, for example, have killed a surprisingly high number of talented artists like Buddy Holly.
Oh my God, the day the music died.
Mm-hmm, and Otis Redding. But a plane crash can't compete with the intrigue of
Stevie Ray Vaughan, too, right? Didn't he die in a plane crash?
Yeah, I think so.
To confirm.
Even just Morrison's death in a Paris bathtub, like, creates so much allure to it that people want to speculate.
It's so romantic.
Same thing with Kurt Cobain. Like, how many rumors have been brought up about him and how that happened? And yeah, you had a whole podcast about it. So it kind of reminds me of so watching Tiger King made me end up watching.
Way to circle back. I like right? it.
Made me watch an ABC special about Siegfried and Roy, the tiger folks.
Oh my God, we also did a topic on that.
I know. And they were talking about like the mystery of the white tiger and how they really built this like aura of mystery and magic around something that like they're actually the same. They just have a genetic mutation that is actually really bad to breed into tigers, and it caused them to be cross-eyed and messed up. But their whole show was to bring curiosity and mystery to this magical looking creature. So I think they do the same thing with the 27 Club. It's all like mystery around something that's really quite normal.
I feel sorry for ligers. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, I feel sorry for all tigers now and lions. That show made me feel really bad. Like, none I know, of and these we people have, care.
We have Cattails here in Spokane that is like a rescue place, but they live in shitty, you know, chain link fence cages. There's a liger there.
And they have probably, what, an acre? Like, it is small.
It's small. Totally. Yeah. And that liger, like, I could tell that liger had low self-esteem.
You could tell?
I could tell. It looked sad. its face looked sad. Its tiger lion face looked sad when it was looking at me.
It's very sad. Have you seen that white tiger who has like the scrunched up nose and he's like super cross-eyed? It's very sad.
I don't want to look it up. Animal stuff makes me really sad.
Yeah, and I didn't like Siegfried and Roy's like approach to that whole thing, because he basically, when questioned about breeding, he said, no, most people just don't like that they're in cages, and like dismiss the breeding of them, which it's the crossbreeding to try to get certain genetic traits that causes so many mutations.
Well, and the thing in that Tiger King docuseries that shocked me, but I don't know why I should be shocked, because when you think about it, it makes sense, is everybody likes the baby tigers. As soon as they get more than like 4 months old, you can't play with them anymore. So you're breeding to get these desirable baby tigers. And then you're maybe killing the adult tigers. Yeah, because you just have too many and they cost $10,000 a year to feed. You know? I mean, that's so disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible. So, okay, I guess just to wrap up, the authors of that 2011 study indicated that the rock lifestyle claims fewer casualties than it did back in 60s, 70s, and that really
Does
the...
It?
Huh?
Does it?
Does it what?
It claims...
Fewer casualties.
I would say heroin still may be a big risk, isn't it?
But for the... Well, what they're saying as far as... Like,
for 27-year-olds, maybe?
No, they're saying overall.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but they said so don't like rule out music as a valid career choice because you're going to turn 27 soon, you know.
Oh my God, I don't think that
still
would
be an
stop
option.
anybody. I'm still not ruling it out for me. One day, maybe I'll learn how to play an instrument.
That's cool. I did find the accordion picture, by the way. I'll send it to you.
Fuck yes! You are the only, like, actual
but I don't
normal
know if this is a
person that I know
compliment.
That plays accordion, like, non-ancient, you know.
Polka music, is that what you're...
Polka music player, yeah.
Cool, well, thanks. All right, we're going to open it up to Jessie's Clear, who's going to join us. She's been patiently waiting for us to jabber
Staying up
on.
Late.
Staying up late. I opened the call for you, Jessie, so just give us a call.
So Jessie's Clear was our very first actual fan, which wasn't like someone we knew that we forced to listen to the podcast.
Hey there.
And she's been a guest before.
Hey,
and welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back. After the first time I was on, I was like, oh my God, I sound like a hick and they're asking me back. So thanks.
How is the old COVID-19 in Alabama doing? How are y'all doing over there?
Well, y'all are my guide. So what I'm doing is, like, I'm paying attention to y'all, of course. And then I'm checking the news about Washington State. But am I too loud or am I okay?
You're good.
You're great.
Okay. All right. So, but right now we've had a shelter in place and a curfew in Montgomery, which is...
Oh, a curfew.
Where we go. Yeah, we got a 10 o'clock curfew and stuff to clear the roadways. But yeah, it's getting weird, but y'all are giving me hope that, you know, there's still going to be wine and toilet paper in a couple of weeks. So
well, I don't know about toilet paper.
Hey, I got a delivery.
But there's still wine. I keep an eye. Every couple days, yeah. I pop in and just check the shelves.
Yeah. Because you're my panic mode, Gage.
You know how to make your own alcohol, though, so you'll be okay. You have all the apocalypse skills.
I know.
Well, I mean, you've tasted it, so you know it's not like, it's not even a $5 bottle at Trader Joe's. So
everything has led us to this moment with you. Everything has led to this moment.
No, it really has.
Really freaking me out, y'all. But no, it shit's getting real. I told them at work today, I was like, we cannot let the public in here anymore. Like, I'm not coming back if we do not lock the door and just start going to get these animals and, you know, no more people in here.
What do you think about me having to go to work?
I think it sucks, but I don't know.
Shouldn't she flip a table and fucking riot?
I mean, you gotta look at your options here. Can you do it by Zoom or Skype or whatever the hell they're doing now?
I could do my job. I could do my job that way, yes.
Tell them that. Tell them you are, you know, putting the foot down like I did today.
You'll be my inspiration tomorrow.
That's right. I almost took a picture of the sign at the door. Like, I told them to put it there. I was like, you know, because they're wanting to set up a table outside. I was like, what are you doing? Just stay your ass inside. Lock the door. Put a sign out there to call. So, yeah. I drove back up after lunch, and I was like, there's my fucking sign. Oh, my God. So, yeah.
That so you're healthy, and is those you know healthy?
Yeah, we're all good.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Are you pouring a beverage, Jessie's Clear?
Oh, God, can you hear me pouring? I'm pouring
yeah,
a
yeah.
Cabernet.
We're hearing clinging glasses, pouring wine.
I heard Naomi's earlier, so y'all can't say anything.
Oh, I have no shame. Yeah.
It's always her fault.
Yeah, me either. Right? I got a bottle and then a backup bottle is what I've got going on here. So, yeah.
If no, you don't have... Go ahead,
Naomi.
No, you go.
Okay,
I'm pouring wine.
We suck at Geography. So remind us again where you are in the country.
Alabama.
I'm above
I know, but
freaking
like
Florida.
where, like what's around you as far as states?
Florida is south. We just drive a couple miles, like couple hours, and go to the beach. So,
Oh.
yeah.
Well,
So
you
last
can't
time I
do that
explained, we were in
now.
between. I know. Last time I explained, I was between Mississippi and Georgia, and y'all were like, "What the fuck?" So I just decided I was like, "We're above Florida. Everybody knows where fucking Florida is." So there we are. That does
Okay,
help.
so don't be one of those spring breaker millennial assholes.
You sound like my dad.
Wait, does that mean you are?
No, I'm not. He was just making sure too that I wasn't gonna do that. I'm like, come on, come on now. He thought I was gonna be down there when there was a hurricane too. He was like, don't go to the ocean during hurricane. I'm like, dude, 44.
Well, at least you're not
Well,
27.
yeah.
Yes, I made it through.
Whew.
Yeah, I made it through that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Cha-ching. Clink.
So, what story do you have for us?
Well, I'm coming out of left field here compared to y'all's going, you know, y'all's. But
I love how you
I'm
say
starting
y'alls.
Y'all.
Yeah,
It's
see
good.
the hick thing. All right,
I
so I'm
love it.
starting kind of like
I've been saying
this
that all the
whole
time.
thing.
That's my gender neutral greeting to
That's,
people.
yeah, I gave you
Got
my blessing. Here, I'm from the
it.
South. You can use y'all. There you
I've
go.
been using it.
Good. It's better than use,
Use.
whatever it was.
Are you folk?
That's, yeah, take the y'all. All right, so I'm kind of doing a Macy and I'm going
Cool.
way around a circle.
I'm great at that.
I mean, it was an adventure, but okay. I'm starting with honey. And what do you know about honey from bees, that kind of honey?
I love it. And tea and on toast with butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's bee
All right.
barf,
I had a friend who
Oh, barf.
I had a friend who used to raise bees.
Oh my God, I went to that friend's house with you and
I
had
know.
bees land on my body, and I had to stay perfectly still and calm so they wouldn't sting the fuck out of me.
Yeah, yep, that's
That's
what
my
I know.
dream. Yeah.
That's all I
That's
know.
my dream. All right, so recently honey has, I mean, just very recently, honey's been discovered to be antibacterial and preservative. So I'm starting with the honey and I'm going to candied humans.
Whoa. I can't wait for how you fit in tigers.
Oh. Well, let me just start with that then. I watched the one episode and I was so pissed because it wasn't just like a movie. I was so pissed I was going to have to watch more episodes. I just quit.
I thought it was a movie too, and then all of a sudden it was
Thank
like
you.
next episode. And I
I
was
know.
like,
I was
oh
like, what
shit, it's
the
a series.
hell? I was so mad. I was like, it's only, you know, I only got 47 minutes left, whatever. And then I was like, what the? They're not sucking me into this Tiger King shit. So, anyway, we'll just get that out of the way. So, anyway, candied humans. Back in the Ming Dynasty, there was a Chinese herbologist and medical doctor who wrote a book, Li Shizhen. And he wrote like the book that's, you know, in China, they even, it's like our medical symbol with the snake and the, you know, whatever we got going on. And then, you know, his face is basically the medical symbol for everything in China. So this guy wrote a book and it was back in, you know, like the 1500s. And included in the book, which he made it known as he was writing it, that he wasn't real sure, but the Arabs used to, in the 14th century, use honey to embalm people. And they started though when they were alive. Like, there was somebody that was a holy man. Yeah, I know.
Wait a second. So there's somebody that's alive and they're just dripping honey on them?
Nope. They're actually feeding it to them and only that. A honey diet.
Oh, like they come up from the inside.
Yeah.
Inside. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking an outside thing. I was almost thinking, is it a sexy thing?
That comes later. And it could be, you know, but we're not going to get into that. It could be. But anyway, so these holy men, they volunteered their bodies when they were about 70, 80 years old, and they knew they were getting, like, close to death anyway. So they started eating honey until they just shat honey, pissed honey, and sweated honey.
Whoa.
And it took about a month for that to happen.
What does a honey shat look like, I wonder?
Sticky.
I was wondering that, too.
How much toilet paper would it take to wipe your butt clean?
Much.
That would take a bidet. So, so he was, you know, writing this book about it. So it's in the book. It's in the Chinese book that they follow in all their medicine. So, you know, the Chinese medicine is something that is highly revered all over the world. But they said there was some confusion in his interpretation. And this is from Wikipedia, this part. There was confusion because of the Buddhist, idea of self-sacrifice, the holy guy thing, and then the Arabic concept of, you know, the body being ingested to cure ailments. So they kind of got that kind of wrong.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about cannibalism?
I am. It's getting there.
Now you know what it's like for us when we cut each other off all the time.
Oh, I love it though. Please cut me off. Keep throwing it in there. Just salt and pepper. All right. So
push it. Real good.
That's how sorry. We do. Oh, hold salt on. Wine break. Mouth getting dry.
Yeah, wine helps with that.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. Macy, right, we have to fucking go to Alabama and eat some mushrooms with Jesse's Clear after all this is over. I feel like it would be a worthwhile road trip.
We should do the crossroads with Jesse's Clear.
Yes! I bet there's all kinds of cool crossroads in Alabama.
Yeah, plenty. I've been wanting to do it, but you know, I really like my soul. It's pretty good. I'll stick with it.
As long as we cover our face, we'll be good.
Yeah, come on down. Just go to Florida almost.
All right, we'll be there in an hour.
I'm sure. All right. Shall I continue?
Yes, please. Sorry. Just ignore us. We're
love it. Continue. Yeah, keep it up. All right, so the Arabs. Back, you know, they've got the 70, 80 year old men, blah, blah, blah. They eat honey until they die. And then when they die, they stick them in a coffin, sarcophagus thing, and they fill it with honey.
That's a lot of honey. No, honey is not cheap.
No, it is not. But this is, I don't know what else these people do. I'm thinking, like, how the hell do you get that much honey? But I guess it's like a holy ritual thing, and they just, you know, go to all lengths. So. Anyway, they buried this thing for 100 years, which could mean just a really long time, because back then, you know, when people said 100 years, they just meant a long time. I read that.
Because 100 was the biggest number that they could really think about.
Yeah, they're primitive. It's 1596.
Well, it's like everyone in quarantine now. It's been hundreds of years since we've been in lockdown.
I know. Right?
Well, and I'm going to get $1,200.
Woo!
Woo! Trump check.
I can pay my mortgage for 1 month.
I don't think that's what it's supposed to be for, Macy.
What?
You're supposed to, like, buy shit. Stimulate the economy.
I am working. I don't have time to buy anything.
You probably just need to buy antibiotics or some shit.
All right. Sorry. Go on.
I do.
Yeah, sorry.
Buy some antibiotics on the street is what I'm trying to do here. It's that bad. The doctors are like, we can't see you. Sorry. But anyway, so they, 100 years later, they get the bodies up and they're like, honey absorbs all the water. So the bodies are shrunken and mummified and candied. And then supposedly they sell them on the street at the Chinese markets.
Wait, what are they selling?
What are they selling? The human candy. The candied human.
Like as a treat?
No,
like
okay. Picture this, Naomi. Picture this. The scorpion suckers with a person in it.
That's a big sucker.
Right?
I don't think that fit in anyone's mouth.
And yeah.
You can take your time.
I need a visual.
That's horrible. So no.
Unfortunately, I always need visuals, but sometimes I regret needing a visual.
They would just sell small bits, and the small bits, since it was mostly bones.
Oh my god!
Small bits.
Oh my god!
A little bit of jerky, a little bit of candy.
Is it like bits of honey?
Holy fuck! It is bits of honey. Which I can't eat because I've had a lot of fillings. So it'll just yank my fucking face off.
Naomi, stop yelling.
I'm sorry.
So loud. I've had headphones on.
I'll turn my volume down. Is that better?
No, it's a microphone. Not your speaker.
It's called passion.
Sorry, go on.
I understand passion. I do. Okay, I don't even know where I'm at anymore. Oh, yeah, the candy human.
Sorry.
All right.
Bits of honey. So, I think you left off. Bits of human.
Yeah, bits of honey. All right, so.
Bits of human. Oh, my God. That's going to be our podcast name.
I like bits of honey. I like bits of honey better.
Yeah. It leaves a lot to be disclosed.
So, right. Yeah. And there's the nostalgia.
Yeah. Shit, I forgot what I was going to say again.
Sorry.
They wanted to, I'm sorry, I'm yelling. You may see, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So they sold it because, if they ate the muscle and they ate the bone, then it would cure their muscle and bone ailments. And wounds, they would put the honey on their wounds and blah, blah, blah. It was medical cannibalism. There's different kind of cannibalisms. Did y'all know that? Yeah,
so a lot of different considered medicine, human medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and medical cannibalism has been reported as recently as 2011.
We've been over this multiple times. I would eat Naomi to medically stay healthy.
And I give her permission as long as I'm all the way dead. I have to be all the way dead.
Yeah, none of this, I'm going to come back in 3 days shit. But yeah, no, that would be starvation cannibalism.
Well, I didn't say I was hungry.
But to stay alive, you're hungry. Yeah, so I would be upset if you ate Naomi. Eat a squirrel first. Please.
Squirrel on a stick. Or Naomi on a stick.
Fine.
Please take the squirrel.
Bits of Naomi. Bits of Naomi.
Sounds like she's in a hurry to eat you, Naomi.
I know. She's a little eager. She's young.
I'm young.
Hey, I just saw the comment. And so, I work at the vet, and we've used honey on a dog before that had been severely abused and in dog fights, and we didn't think she was going to make it, and Manuka honey actually cured
her. Oh wow.
Big open gashes, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
But so you didn't eat it.
It's real good. No, I've made not a, eat that baby dog.
I've made a facial with honey and green tea before because Tan France from Queer Eye said he does that every day.
I love that show.
It's a good
and
one.
I was like, oh, he's so tan. Yeah.
He is tan, and he's tan.
I know. He's tan.
And he has nice skin, so I figured, hey, maybe it'll work for me.
You gotta do it. I mean, if any gay guy tells you to do anything, you do it.
No, I do it, because I have no skills. I was raised by wolves. I was raised by hippies.
Apparently.
That didn't use any beauty products or shaving, so I'm just figuring it out still at this stage of my life. I'm still figuring it out day to day.
It's work, though, because I've shown your picture from back when we first met in Derby to now, and everyone says that you look exactly the same.
That's great.
10 years.
Do you see how long my bangs are, though, now? My hairdresser canceled my bangs trim. I may have to do a pandemic bangs trim.
I cut my own bangs.
Okay.
Sorry. Go on.
One word of advice is do not pull your bangs down tight when you cut them. Just
or just twist them. No.
Don't do that.
No, right. I won't. I study what my hairdresser does and I try to emulate. And there's never some kind of twist and cut ever.
All right, we got off track. Go on. Right.
Sorry. Right. Back to the honey people.
Honey people.
Yeah, 2012. No, we're just at cannibalism now. But anyway,
sorry.
2012, powdered flesh, powdered baby fetuses. Babies and fetuses were smuggled from China to
just tell
South
her to wait.
Korea. Yeah.
I don't know what you mean, powdered. I don't know what you mean. It sounds like I'm imagining horrible things, but at the same time, I'm imagining like a box of powdered donuts, which is terrible. Yeah, I shouldn't be imagining that.
Like the pills you get from GNC that are filled with all those things, but you can see through them like that.
Oh, there's like
capsules.
Baby bones.
No, that's yeah, fucked ground up. Whole babies and fetuses smuggled from China. Now, see, I don't understand why all these Chinese people want to. I know I'm not like, you know, I feel so bad that Donald Trump has done what he's done to Asian people.
Make this you know, whole thing racist.
Like, yeah, it's horrible. And, you know, but I'm just saying, like, this is just stuff I found out in the last couple of days looking for stuff. And it's,
China does have a documented history of, because they were only allowed to have one child for so long, that they would value the male children and that female babies would just be cast aside, unfortunately. So, you know, maybe that's
all these babies and these pills were
what happened. You know,
I don't know.
I'd definitely rather have the honey human than the baby pill.
Okay. So the reason that people want these pills is supposedly medical, and it's for circulation and sexual performance. And that's just,
Oh, God, I don't want to have a baby boner.
Literally.
But the BBC is where I got this news, and they said that they actual capsules contained a super bacteria and maybe viruses.
Coronavirus?
And specifically stated in that article, no, was what is that? MRSA or SARS?
Oh yeah.
I think it was SARS. Yeah, it was SARS.
Oh, SARS. That was the last thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID's been like traced back to the poor lowly pangolin, which I feel bad for.
Oh my God. Yeah, I love the pangolin so much. I really do.
Like, people shouldn't be eating fucking pangolins. Like, don't do it.
That's
They're
where
so
I was
cute.
Going with this. That was my end point.
Sorry.
No, it's not my end point. I got one more point in there. But
she's
no,
this
you're
Naomi.
Good.
I'm sorry.
Like, one step. She's one step ahead of me. It's all good.
I miss synergy.
Yeah. I think it's called synchronicity.
It's yes. Thank you, Jesse's clear for making it all okay.
No, I've had a lot of that lately because I've been spending a lot of time alone, just you know, reflecting inwardly. Because I'm like, everybody better get the fuck away from me. But no. So yeah, that I've had a lot of synchronicity. Even like when I'm playing Words with Friends, there'll be a word that pops up on a podcast that I'm listening to, and I'm playing the word, and I'm like, holy shit. So anyway, that's synchronicity.
Synchronicity.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. All right. The Guardian has some information about the Great Famine of 1949, where in China, the Henan province was overtaken by the Communist Party, and shit had gotten so bad. I don't know, you know, I wasn't there, but apparently it got so bad where people were having to eat and trade children with their neighbors so they didn't have to eat their own kids. Cannibalism.
Oh, cannibalism. That's rough.
And that's like I said, 1949. So
wow. Mm. So maybe wow, because right. It was after World War II and things were pretty fucked.
Yeah, well, it all had to do with the Communist Party. It was kind of like pretty much like a Holocaust type situation, you know, due to whoever took the party. I think it was Mao or something like that.
Oh, was this maybe right before the whole Chinese Revolution where people escaped?
I don't know. I didn't get that far, but I got as far.
I think that might have been in the 60s. So maybe it was like all the shit happened and things were really bad. And then in the 60s, people escaped during the revolution. I have an aunt that was one person that escaped, and like I heard shit was just fucking horrific. So things like that, like what you're describing, I'm sure probably happened.
Yeah, it's not that long ago. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of terrifying. But you know, they were starving, so their country, their Communist Party was starving them, so they had to make do. And I don't know why we went to the Chinese people selling animals and whatnot on the street, like bats and snakes. And I don't know. It's just, that's probably what you had to eat is what I'm getting to within the markets right now.
I can say that I love how much you've researched. Like, you totally got the gist of it. It's awesome.
I don't know. This is all
good job, Jesse's Claire.
We love it. Keep going.
Is it Jess or Jesse?
Yeah. Just Jess.
Jess.
And
y'all, okay. Y'all are my inspiration because I love how y'all bring it full circle. And, you know, Macy had her little doot-de-doot with her subject today. And that was pretty cool. Naomi, I have to say, I really would have loved just one more play alone paranormal Japanese game.
I know, one didn't feel like enough. I agree.
Well, there's always next week.
Thank goodness.
We appreciate you so much. You're our first like actual fan. Because when we first started, we just had to pretty much like wrestle people to the ground and force them to listen, you know. Like Macy's dad and her aunt, and like I forced my kid for like a week before he like rebelled. So you were like our first actual person that we didn't know that listened of your own free volition.
I think it was just like, you know, random algorithms in Facebook, and you know, I saw deeply disturbing things in your logo. I loved it. So I went to your page and I'm like, 45 creepy steps. Yeah, I know creepy steps. Let me see what that's about.
Naomi's son made that logo. Ever since.
Yeah, my son made the logo. Cool. We're super DIY.
I love it.
So sorry, did you have more? We didn't mean to cut you off again.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I didn't have more except for why the fuck are we eating pangolins? They are too cute. And
okay, can you please tell me... pangolins?
You don't know what a pangolin is, Macy? Fuck. No.
I feel your pain.
No.
I feel your pain, Naomi.
I will send her a picture. My
YouTube video.
I'm looking it up right now.
Look at pangolin. They're the ones that are being blamed for COVID-19 because people ate them.
Will you stop yelling?
Save
the pangolins. I'm sorry. I'm passionate.
I thought both of you were mispronouncing penguins.
Well, we're not.
Like, how are they both messing this up?
So it was kind of first blamed on eating bats, but then, like, further research showed that it was actually these pangolins that were being sold in these wet, quote unquote, wet markets in China, which is where they sell these wild animals to be eaten or made into medicines or whatnot. But
okay, wait, I'm gonna spell it.
Tell me how to spell it, because all I'm getting is the Canadian penguin.
There you go.
Pangolin.
One more time, slower and less yelly.
Fuck. I don't know how to speak yet less yelly.
Just look at your comments.
Okay. I can do that. Okay. Got
They're
it.
Cute. They're like a little armadillo kind of thing. They're adorbs.
They are. They're like a mini armadillo. And
nobody should be eating
the most
them.
Precious.
But I mean, I get like these villages in China, like you're cut off from information and everything, and you're tied into all these ancient traditions.
Are they still communist?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm a shitty student.
They just got Facebook yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that their information is controlled for sure, and they may not know that, like, there's health dangers in eating these kind of things, or maybe, like, moral objections. But I think there's traditions that these things have health benefits and medicinal qualities, and so they go to these wet markets because you want to, like, drink your snake venom.
I hate those together. Wet markets. That's disgusting.
I know. It's like moist.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gross.
It is. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Macy,
like
did you
moist
look up,
market.
Did you look up the pangolin?
I did. And the first article that came, not really. I don't know. I don't find him that cute.
Oh, what's wrong with her?
Macy's hard and harsh.
But
cold.
She is. She brings balance.
The first article, though, I pulled up said that they are not responsible for COVID-19. Yeah. The culprit is us.
That's true.
Oh, so, well, because we ate them. Because humans ate them and ingested their virus. So I mean, are you on a PETA website? Yeah. Because I would expect that kind of response.
But what do you think? Do you? Okay, hold on. I need to get a shout out to. I heard you do it earlier. You gave a shout out to a podcast. So can I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Weird Darkness is this guy named Darren Marlar, and he is an Audible narrator too, and he does a show like twice a day. Like, that's all he does. But anyway, his shows are so cool. So I've subscribed and listened to that in between the weeks when I don't get to listen to y'all. And he just talks about, you know, shit that's weird. And when I heard the story about the, you know, the cannibal honey people, I was about to throw up at work. So give a shout out to that guy. He's doing
nice.
It.
Cool.
I want to. Like, read a book out loud to people.
I know.
Right now?
I'm
no.
Like,
not now.
Okay, because I don't have time for that.
I know, you have a baby in your house.
I know, it's crazy.
Oh, well, that's all I got, guys.
Well, that's all I got, too. Did you need me to hang up? I appreciate y'all having me as a guest. But
No, don't leave yet.
Don't leave. Oh, you have to do our intel next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pressure's on.
Oh, shit.
No, that's the whole point, is it's on the fly, and most of the time it's stupid. It's okay.
Until next time, what do you got, Jess? I was going to say Jesse.
Y'all. I got...
I love that in itself.
Jack shit.
Well, you already said one earlier. I'm just going to steal yours. Don't eat pangolins.
And until next time, everybody, meet you at the crossroads.
Oh, you bitch.
Word.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.